Are you ready for a mixed bag of electronic engineering podcasting goodness? I certainly hope so. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by eejournal.com and hosted by me, Amelia Dalton. This week, I am proud to welcome a longtime friend of the show, Brad Griffin. Brad and I are talking about the increasing need for system-level modeling in today's electronic designs. But before we bring in Brad, let's talk about drones. We love them. We want more of them. We don't want them hitting our heads. Okay, maybe that's just me. I seem to have some kind of extra gravitational pull when it comes to my head. You know that kid who always got hit in the head on the playground? Yeah, that was me. Anyway, drones are all fine and good until they hurt someone or get involved in some kind of collision, right? But how do we fix this? Well, a team at the University of Colorado Boulder has an idea, and it all came from the pufferfish. Enter the pufferbot. So, how does this new drone prototype address these two issues? Well, just like the pufferfish makes itself larger by inflating its body like a balloon, the pufferbot does something similar. It contains an array of plastic rods that are linked and pre-tensioned that are folded close to the copter's body. When its sensors detect something getting a little too close, those rods are actually pushed outward into a shield that surrounds the copter's body. So this shield consists of a horizontal ring that actually goes past the props, along with two vertical arches that crisscross and extend over the top. As you can undoubtedly imagine, with this kind of automatic shield, the pufferbot should just bounce off something, instead of cutting it to shreds or downing the copter. And as you can imagine as well, if you saw this shield popping out of a drone, yeah, you'd avoid it too, right? This team from CU Boulder contends that the visual part of the pufferbot could potentially keep bystanders from colliding with the drone in the first place. So, I can hear you loud and clear, my drone-loving fans, but how much is that shield going to add to the payload? A very valid question. The pufferbot shield weighs only about a pound. So, not applicable for your smaller drones, sure, but not too heavy for a lot of the more heavy-lifting copters out there. Very cool. Now, if you want even more information about the pufferbot, or if you want to see this bad boy in action, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. All right, it's time to bring in the one, the only, Brad Griffin from Cadence Design Systems. Brad and I are talking about the limitations of system-level modeling today, how system analysis challenges are driving new levels of performance, and how Cadence's Clarity 3D Transient Solver helps address these challenges. Let's go. Hi, Brad. Thank you so much for joining me.
Amelia, it's great to talk to you again.
Okay, so Brad, let's start things off. What do you think are the limitations today of system-level modeling?
That's a loaded question for sure. The whole concept of a system is something that's been evolving over time. You know, we typically used to refer to system on a chip, and now I think we actually look at a system as something that's a system of systems where you're going to have multiple components. Like, for instance, something in transportation industry, you'll have multiple ECUs in a car. So the limitations, quite honestly, are that there's just a lot of computations that need to take place in order to model it. And so what we're finding is that a lot of software that might be used for these type of applications, they were kind of built in the era of single core computing, and they just don't scale well to be able to use all the processing power that's required to do what I would call a system level model today.
So Brad, how are system analysis challenges driving new levels of performance, do you think? And what are some key markets that benefit from these new approaches?
Well, I think what happens is, you know, once you get software that can, say, take advantage of the almost unlimited number of cores of computing power that we have available in the cloud, and if they can do it in a way that's memory efficient, because that's a challenge that we've seen is that when you try to scale software to run on multiple machines, you end up having to use terabytes of memory on each one of those machines, and that just tends to not work that well. So I think the new challenges are that people actually want to simulate these large systems because it's expensive to build prototypes only to find that you've got some kind of a design problem that you need to go back to the design tools and fix that. So the need to simulate is needed more now than ever. Some areas that I really do think are highlighted by this would be something maybe in the area of an automobile, because any of us that have even a semi-new car, the number of electronic things we have in this car, whether it's adaptive cruise control or windshield wipers that automatically turn on when it starts to rain, these are all things that there's an electronic pulse of some kind that happens when these things happen. And if that noise that gets generated from that would have an impact on someplace else in the system, that can cause disaster. And that's why it's so important that all the testing that takes place today inside, say, an anechoic chamber for EMI testing or something like that, if you're able to do simulations to look at those problems earlier on, you would be in a much better situation. So I think automotive industry is a key industry that can be helped by better system level modeling. I think just the idea that you have to get products to market so quickly in consumer electronics, they're always trying to meet the time frames in a year, you know, the holiday season and the dads and grads seasons. They just can't afford to have their design cycle spread out because they failed some kind of EMI test of that kind. So I think that, that's another industry that's really going to benefit from being able to simulate and make sure that they're passing, you know, system level tests like EMI on the first pass. Another area that I think is really critical, and I think, you know, with the aging population these days, healthcare is a bigger and more important time. If you've been in a hospital room, you've seen all the different monitors that are in there, they all have to be able to work without impacting each other. So the noise that they can generate, there's some really strict government standards that have to be passed in order for them to be able to bring those products to market. And again, nobody wants to have to build a prototype, take it into a test chamber, and find that it fails. They'd much rather find that out during simulation where they can just go back and edit their design and then re-simulate instead of having to build a new prototype. So these are the industries I think that are going to be very much benefit from having good system level modeling tools.
Sure, that absolutely makes sense. Now, Brad, Cadence just introduced the Clarity 3D Transient Solver to address these EMI challenges you just mentioned. Now, how does it bring performance and capacity to electromagnetic compliance sign-off?
Yeah, I think this is a good time for Cadence because as we entered into the system level analysis environment or product line about a year and a half ago with the introduction of the Clarity 3D solver, this is an FEM solver that addresses, you know, primarily signal integrity, power integrity problems that you might find on a printed circuit board or a package, but they can also look at very complex designs, rigid flex designs. What we're finding is that capacity is really the key, that when you're looking at the older tools in the market, they simply can't support the capacity that's needed to perform the larger simulations that people need to be able to get their products to market very quickly. Now, the Clarity 3D Transient Solver, instead of being a finite element method, it uses something called finite difference time domain, FDTD. I know it kind of sounds like an alphabet soup, but this is just a different numerical method that allows much larger problems to be addressed. And this is why we can take the Clarity 3D Transient Solver to a company that's responsible for ECU design of an automobile, or maybe a company that's responsible for MRI equipment, for medical equipment. And their real concern is that they want to get their product to market without having to build prototypes to find that there are issues. So the Clarity 3D Transient Solver, with its capacity, and then with its ability to simulate very quickly because it scales. Let's just say you could solve the problem with 32 cores, and maybe that took 3 days. If you can throw 320 cores at it, then instead of 72 hours, it's 7 hours. So it's basically a linear scaling because it's so efficient in the way that it sort of breaks up the job into multiple problems and scale that across multiple computer cores. So really excited about that. The fact that it also uses GPUs, the FDTD algorithm itself is really suited well for the graphical processing unit. We've seen GPUs actually solve the problem as quick as much as 20 times faster than just using regular CPU cores. So there's a lot of ways that we're enabling customers using the Clarity 3D Transient Solver to address these system level issues in a very efficient way. They can do what-if analysis, they can do trade-offs and to come up with cost versus performance trade-offs and get their product to market in a timely fashion, in a cost-competitive fashion.
So Brad, are there any other benefits that early customers realize by deploying this Clarity 3D Transient Solver?
Really a point that I think is worth mentioning is that we've worked with a company in Japan named Ultimate Technologies, and they work with like the tier one providers in automotive industry in Japan. They're really well known. They do lots of ECU designs, electronic control unit designs, and they know how long it takes to design and get through, you know, EMC compliance. And they would tell you the design cycle for an ECU is typically 10 to 12 months. And what they're telling us is what they're able to accomplish as far as simulation with the FDTD field solver that we provide in Clarity 3D Transient is they can literally cut 3 months off their design cycle. That's pretty impressive. And so I think, you know, it tells me that we're bringing something to the market that is groundbreaking, that we really feel is going to, you know, help customers eliminate the number of prototypes that they have to make to get through these difficult system level testings to get to market.
Okay. So Brad, explain to me, how does Clarity 3D Transient Solver work alongside the other Cadence products in this solution for EMC emissions and immunity?
Great question, because this is something that, you know, may not be intuitive right off the bat, because we're talking about these long simulations, you know, running for, you know, at least hours, sometimes days. And a lot of tools in the market that have tried to address this will come from companies that are purely providing analysis tools. But Cadence, with our depth and breadth and really providing an intelligent system design environment where the design tools are, where you're designing your chip, where you're designing your package, you're designing your board, and these are the sources of the actual EMI noise that gets emitted, it's very integrated to be able to go back to the design tool, make the change, and then re-simulate. You don't have to go through this complex translation process. And the other thing that would apply is on the other way around. You mentioned immunity. If there's some kind of a test that companies have to pass, use the example of being in an airplane where they tell you got to shut down your laptop when you take off. That's because they are worried that the electronics inside the airplane would not be immune to the noise when during takeoff and landing. So that's an extreme case. But, you know, even in an automobile, you want to make sure that you're not going to be susceptible to noise from other ECUs in the automobile. So you want to check to make sure you're immune from that. So the idea that you can run the tool, find out if there's some kind of crosstalk or noise being injected into a particular area on the printed circuit board, and then all you really need to do is edit that design, maybe move the traces down to a different layer so they're protected by a ground plane. That integration of the analysis and the design tools is really a key thing that Cadence brings to the market to support our strategy of intelligent system design.
Excellent. All right, Brad, it is time to talk about wide mouth technology. Now, for my audience who may not know, you have been on my show throughout the years since 2011, and I threw an off-the-cuff question at you way back when. So tell my audience the wide mouth technology story, Brad.
Oh, you're embarrassing me, and I'm going to have to go find my old colleagues that would drop this bet that I was involved in, that I could not work the phrase wide mouth technology into a presentation I was given. I couldn't turn down that challenge. So I managed to talk about how two pieces of technology were working together and the data was being passed to each other through wide mouth technology. So and they, of course, they were in the back row laughing, having a blast. And but I've actually decided, Amelia, that I think when I retire, I'm actually going to work on that. My goal is to be able to create real wide mouth technology in the end.
I love it. I could see a patent with your name on it.
There you go.
In the future someday.
There you go.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for joining me, Brad. It is always a pleasure speaking with you.
Absolutely, Amelia. Thank you for having me.
Also, if you want more information about Cadence's Clarity 3D Transient Solver, I would highly recommend checking out EE Journal Editor-in-Chief Kevin Morris's recent article called Cadence Brings Clarity to EMI, System Level Solver / Simtimes. And in honor of Halloween, coming up very soon, here's the first paragraph. You'll want to read the rest for yourself. EMI is the ghost in our machines, the phantom of our electronic operas. We create our systems with a specific purpose, and our engineering efforts aim to hone and optimize toward that goal. At the same time, lurking in the copper traces and wayward return paths are silent specters seeking to derail our plans. They haunt our schedules undetected, biding their time until the final day of reckoning, when they make their presence known, trashing our schedules and wreaking havoc on our best laid plans. Yeah, go read the rest. It's a good article. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EE Journal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EE Journal TFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, it is AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I dig it. You can follow us or me on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, or heck, you just want to chat, I promise I will respond. Shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of October 30th, 2020, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.